Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chris Moore.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
305 on the Fan in New York City on this cold Saturday afternoon here in mid-February. Hope all is well wherever you may be. We will take calls later in the hour, 877-337-6666. We will talk later on in the show to Wayne Coffey, author of Boys of Winter, the story of the 1980 Miracle on Ice U.S. Olympic team of Herb Brooks, etc. That 40-year anniversary is next Saturday, the 22nd of February. It'll be 40 years since the 1980 championship and the really unifying victory across this country. Right now, though, we're so happy to be joined by John Harper of SNY, the Harp Man, ready to talk a little baseball and exhaust more of this Astro stuff that won't go away and is fascinating to people. Harp, how are we doing this afternoon?
Hey, good, Chris. How you doing? Hey, that can't be 40 years. That would mean we're all pretty old. You know, I can't believe that.
It is sort of sad. When I was talking to Wayne Coffey, I was like, "Oh my God, 40 years! That is, that is an eye opener. There's no question about that." But it's a great memory, that's for sure.
It is. Yeah, that was something.
And this, of course, is the opposite for people. And first off, I want to get your take on a few things. Are you surprised that the number of players and the number of fans, for that matter, that are not of the Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox, Indians, people that were directly involved with the Astros and playoff scenarios, that many players are this outspoken about an issue like this? Because I certainly was pleased to see it, that they weren't just shrugging their shoulders and they were actually coming on the record and saying, this is not right.
Yeah, I have been surprised by it. I think partly because I've kind of become numb to the idea over the years that players won't criticize other players.
Exactly right.
With the steroid era, when we knew there were, you know, the guys that should have spoken up. I even remember having that conversation with Jeter, and he got upset about the idea that he should have been the one to speak up. So, yeah, to see this tells me that it really is something that wasn't going on, at least to this level, on other teams, because otherwise you wouldn't be hearing these kind of comments. So I just think it reinforces the idea that the Astros took this to a level where other guys just couldn't imagine, I guess. And it really strikes to the heart of the, there has to be, we know it's a huge business and money and everything else, but there has to be some integrity involved on the playing field. I think the players feel that way.
Were you, obviously everyone was disappointed with the performance of the Astros in the press conference. Why do you think they had it if that was the best they were going to bring? Like, I was trying to figure to myself, if they sat around beforehand and say, what's the best thing that could come out of this press conference, and then went out and did what they did, I can't, you know, it just makes me think, wow, this is such a monopoly. They're not even prepared. They don't care really what anyone thinks. They're just, you know, doing it because they feel like they have to.
I know. Well, look at their track record. Their PR, whoever is in charge of PR is, should be fired, because they do everything wrong. They have, in so many cases now, going back to last year with the, starting with the Verlander thing where they barred the reporter from the press conference, and then in the postseason where the assistant GM was mocking women in the locker room about the Osuna thing, and it took them forever. They got to get out in front of that. They did everything wrong with that. And then this thing, it was just awful. I mean, why have Bregman and Altuve? They look like idiots making those prepared statements, especially when once they did open the clubhouse, you got a little bit more in terms of honest remorse and reaction and real sentiments. And I think that's what they should have done. I mean, I think a lot of this we saw that Jim Crane doesn't know what he's doing as far as handling this stuff. The owner, the things he said made everything worse. So I guess it just all comes from the top down. That's about all you can really say.
Yeah, and I don't know that, you know, that they ever should have done it. I mean, the slings and arrows that they're getting, like today, Correa coming out and saying Altuve had a bad tattoo that wasn't finished, and that's the reason he didn't want his jersey ripped off. There just isn't any upside there. No one's going to believe him, and no one's, you know, it's just...
Well, the only thing I'll say there is that I don't know if you've read that whole thing. It is I know that kind of in itself sounds kind of weird, but he makes a long, detailed, passionate defense of Altuve that I think is worth reading. It's in The Athletic. Ken Rosenthal wrote it. And he is the one guy who, to me, came off as the most believable in those interviews the other day. So I wouldn't dismiss that entirely. I know the tattoo thing sounds stupid, but if you read the whole thing, There's a lot there from Correa making a case for Altuve, and he's really mad that Bellinger said what he said, and you know players are going to be right to be to have those feelings, but the Correa thing is really interesting. I would encourage people to read it.
Yeah, I just don't think he can win. I just don't think that battle can be won, given the history and the negativity surrounding a good part of it. I just don't think that battle is one that they can win, and they're better off, even if they're right, even if every word he says is true. I just think the American public is not open-minded when it comes to the parts that were proven against the team, and they're not going to give them the kind of fair shake that they think they deserve. So I don't know. I just don't think they're getting very good advice right now. What's your guess as to how this all plays out for Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred and for the average fan out there? How long does this last? How big a pall does it cast on 2020? And what are your thoughts generally about, you know, where we'll be a year from now?
It might depend on what we see from the Astros this year. We know that, you know, I still think there's a lot of talented players there. It's going to be interesting to see how they perform. They should still have a really good team. But I think it's going to be something that's going to be linger and be there all year. I'm interested to see if these players and teams follow through and actually, you know, look to throw at hitters, things like that. I have a feeling that's going to calm down before the season starts. But, hey, listen, you never know. Emotions are riding really high. But I think a year from now, I think it'll mostly be forgotten unless the Astros win the World Series. And who knows, maybe people will think they were somehow cheating again. So it is, you're right. Once they've got this scarlet letter, so to speak, it's not going to go away very easily.
No, not in today's environment. I mean, people are not open-minded politically, business-wise, you know, anyway, they celebrity-wise. They put a label on you. You wear that label until you really can prove that you shouldn't be wearing that label, right? I mean, you know, none of us are in the courtroom, but if you go to 100 people on the streets of New York today and ask about Harvey Weinstein, you know, at least 85 of them will have an opinion one way or the other. Only 15 or 10 will say, geez, I don't know. You know, I'm not there. I don't know anything about the testimony. I just, you know, I have no idea. Most people will say one way or the other because that's the way we are now. So, you know, I just think that part of it's going to be very difficult for them to shake. Does, as you look at baseball overall and is this a wake-up call for Rob Manfred? Like, hey, there are things that go over the line. Because I've always said here on the show that, you know, the leagues are monopolies and basically can do whatever they want. We just adjust to whatever they decide to do. And that's why they can get away with whatever they get away with, because we're, you know, we're basically addicted and we go along for the ride. We grumble, but we go along for the ride. This seems to have almost crossed the line here, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, because you're right. I don't think people are going to stop watching baseball because of this. But it is, when looking at it now, it seems pretty clear that MLB was not going to act on this until Mike Fiers came forward and made it something they couldn't ignore. Because when you listen to comments by the Bob Melvin, the A's manager, about how they complained to, he said openly, how they complained to the league about it, and other teams have kind of whispered the same thing over the years, that they didn't do anything until they were forced to. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I think Manfred's got to he's got to be more worried about that those kind of things than he should be about whether, you know, some of the little rules changes they're making in terms of this postseason stuff that's ahead of us and everything else.
Yeah, and I think John, and we're talking to John Harp of SNY. I think Harp that you know, anytime you admit anything or do anything, there's so much collateral damage now. You know, lawsuits, gambling interests, you know, families involved, and you know, like people calling earlier today about, you know, if they didn't cheat, maybe Girardi's still with the Yankees. Maybe this is that. Maybe that. You know, Aaron Judge wins his MVP. There's so many things that enter into it. If you start to admit it, you can understand why a league would just, you know, like to be an ostrich and bury their head in the sand and come up 6 months later and hope that everybody forgot about it.
Yeah, because I think their feeling always is that fans are going to watch the games no matter what. But this is a good, I think this is a good wake up call for Manfred because of what he's heard from fans and from other players. I think that's got to shock him, the reaction around the league. I'm sure he didn't anticipate this kind of forceful reaction. So, yeah, I think it's good because too often I think the heads of these leagues just, they do take the fans and everything else for granted.
Why do you think there was such a reaction? Why do you think the Cody Bellingers of the world came out the way they did?
Well, because, I mean, the steroids thing is cheating, but I guess it's a different type of cheating because this is a cheating where it involves the whole team and it's something tangible, whereas the steroids thing isn't as tangible. You know, that was some of the early comments you heard from pitchers were, I'd much rather face a guy on steroids than face a guy who knows what I'm going to pit, what I'm going to throw.
Yeah, did you see Vlad Guerrero's comment today? Vlad Guerrero Jr. says, geez, if I knew what was coming, I'd hit 500.
Hey, listen, it's, you know, anybody that's played the game knows it's a huge advantage. I think it's just something, you know, I think there is a line that all players recognize. Everybody wants an advantage, but I think players recognize that there is that line there where if you cross that line, you really are, you know, you're just, it's, there's got to be some integrity in the game and everybody wants to win, but I don't think everybody wants to win by cheating. So I think that struck a nerve with a lot of guys.
And I think there's also some, at least from a fan base standpoint, some thoughts about kids, you know, and how it reflects on them, because almost everybody that you and I are talking to right now, listening in their car, et cetera, generally became a sports fan when they were 8 or 9 years old, most of them. I mean, very few of them at 25 started watching sports. So I think that they are cognizant and aware and sensitive to some degree about how the game is reflected by kids.
Yeah, and it should be. You know, I think, you know, as for us, when you're in the business, as long as we have, we kind of maybe were cynical about all that stuff. But, you know, I raised two sons and coached them in Little League and everything else. So, yeah, I mean, it matters at that level. You know, you're trying to teach kids to do things the right way. And it's when this stuff is out there for everybody, it's all anybody's talking about, it's hard to not have to sit down if your kids are at a certain age and kind of explain it to them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's do two quick ones on each team, and then I'll let you go on this Saturday afternoon. We appreciate your time, Harp. What are you most looking forward to? Where are your big questions at Yankee Camp and Met Camp for these two teams in your mind? Where's the intrigue in 2020?
Well, for the Mets, I mean, I'm really intrigued by Cespedes. Because,
right.
I mean, he's such a. For one thing, he's just such an athletic, you know, player. He just brings so much when he's healthy, and he could, to me, I've said this, I think he could be kind of a wild card that could lift them, put them over the top if he really can play but you know, I also think JD Davids is a guy that could really be helpful to them too. So what are they going to do there? And then the other part is the bullpen. I mean, is Edwin Diaz, is he really going to bounce back? If he does bounce back, and I'm writing about this actually now, talking to scouts about it, and oh, I actually wrote about it. I forgot. Sorry, I think it's already up on the SNY website. And how they think it's more about what's in his head than its mechanics. If he can get back to that level where he's a dominant reliever, they think this is a 90 to 95 win team because that bullpen would be really great. And so we'll see. That those are the things with the Mets. With the Yankees, I think it's really just, you know, I want to see Garrett Cole, you know, live up to, you know, there's a lot of pressure dealing with that contract, and I think he's great, but we've seen other guys who are great come over and struggle with the expectations. He's such a student of the game, though, and so into the pitching, which we've already seen as a Yankee. I think he will be great. So then we'll just all be waiting for that Yankees Astros ALCS.
You're laughing already, Harp.
Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh. It's just I don't know whether it's fortunate for baseball or I'm trying to decide whether the fact that the Astros don't come here until late September is good or bad. If you were Rob Manfred, would you like to get it out of the way and leave it and put it behind you? Or would you hope that by the time we get to late September, it won't have any juice left in it? I don't know which is better.
If you're Manfred, probably the later the better. But if you're in the media and you want to write or talk about it, probably the sooner it would be a lot better. I think they do come to City Field, right, for the Mets, but that won't be quite the same. But it'd still be interesting to see what kind of reaction. Because people are fired up about this. Even it's funny. I run into people, you know, just you know, at the gym or doing things, and people who really aren't even baseball fans. That's the first thing they ask me. They all want to talk about this the Astros thing. So it really has brought in the kind of the casual fan who doesn't pay much attention to baseball year round. It's really interesting to me to see that.
Yeah, I agree, and I do think we want to, you know, outside of the WWE, we really want to trust what we're watching is on the up and up. You know, we could be disappointed by our team. We could be disappointed by our manager. We have plenty of things to complain about when things don't go well and our team doesn't perform well. But, you know, when we get the feeling that it's not a level playing field, it's a nasty feeling. It's like somebody stealing, you know, $10 out of your car. It won't kill you, but it doesn't make you very happy either. You know, and it's...
Yeah, and that's why the gambling thing, that gambling sign is posted in every clubhouse in baseball, and that's why that's the rule that every player knows from the time they sign and is told about, because that, you know, if that brings the integrity of the game, and just as you said, people need to believe the game is on the up and up, otherwise... You know, you can just go watch wrestling, I guess.
Yeah, it's just not much fun. Yeah, I mean, it's just not nearly as much fun. Thanks, Harp. Enjoyed the conversation, as always.
All right, thanks, Chris.
There you go. John Harper, SNY. You can read his stuff on the SNY website. And good conversation there. And he, like most media people, very surprised at the outspokenness of so many players who were not directly involved in this. A lot that were. You know, a lot of Yankee Dodger comments, Indians, etc., but also a lot from players who were not directly involved. And I think that has been the surprising part for a lot of baseball media people, that the overall tenor of this event has had a lot of juice to it, you know, and it isn't going to calm down as quickly as people thought it might.